This is real encouragement this morning. This is the largest turnout that you've had since I've been coming here. And that is always encouraging, to see a fruitful field growing. And I want to read with you in John's Gospel, chapter 15. We've come all the way from chapter 1 to 15 since I have been with you. And here in John chapter 15, we have a fruitful field growing. It has to do with the true vine. And I want to read, to start with, 8 verses. And listen very carefully, because the Word of God is far more important than what I have to say about it. And I think what I have to say about it is a little bit important. But oh, the Word of God is so quick and powerful, it's living. And it will pierce even to the dividing of the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner of our thoughts and intents of the heart. So Jesus says in chapter 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. But if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now that's verses 1 to 8. And I'm sure that you can all tell me what the subject of these verses are. Christ is the vine. Do you know something about a vine? And I have a grapevine all the way across my lot up here at Greenwood Hill. And the wood in a vine isn't much good to build a house with. Grapevine, is it? No. And it's not much good to build furniture with. And do you know, when I clip off some of those fruitless vines and put them in a fire that I have built there, they just puff up and smoke in a hurry. They don't even make good firewood. But there's only one thing that the vine is good for, and that is fruit bearing. Huh? And, of course, when he speaks of a vine, why, these people who are the children of Israel, they would all know very well about the truth of a vine. Because in the Old Testament, the nation Israel was the vine that was brought out of Egypt and planted on a fruitful hill. And it did quite well for a while. And then they begin, as Hosea says, to bring forth fruit for themselves. And do you know, a lot of Christians may be like that. They want to bring forth fruit for themselves and not for the Lord. And that is sad when we get into that condition, because you'll notice here that the Father is the husbandman, and he's the cultivator, and he wants fruit for himself. And not for me or for you, but for himself. Our God and our Father in this respect is a jealous God. And he wants fruit. Now, Israel, in Isaiah chapter 5, they got into such a condition that they were prospering in wealth and religious buildings and all kinds of religious movements, and yet it says that they were bringing forth wild grapes. Now, the father doesn't care too much about eating wild grapes. He likes cultivated grapes and not sour grapes. You know how that makes you draw up your tongue and you say, "Ooh, what sour," and you can see it all over your face when you eat sour grapes. But, oh, the father, he loves cultivated grapes, grapes that have been pruned and grapes that have been cultivated. And so here the Lord Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Israel wasn't the true vine. They were not true to the Lord. And how sad that is. And that's why they got separated and they got driven into all the nations. They're scattered and they're peeled all over the world. And oftentimes the nations that they're in persecutes them. And I believe that God will eventually, and is using it eventually, to persecute them and to bring them to the end of themselves, that they'll quit bringing forth fruit unto themselves, but they'll cry out to the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus. Now, you go amongst the Jews today, and you tell them about Jesus, they'll say, "Oh, no, he's an imposter. He's not the Messiah. Messiah has never come." And because of this, they're bringing forth fruit unto themselves and not to God our Father. But oh, what a day will be in the future when they come to the end of themselves and they rely upon God as their Father and the Lord Jesus as their Savior. My, what fruit-bearing they will produce. Now you see the Lord Jesus says, "I am the true vine." He often spoke about himself as being true. That means there's no falseness in him. Did you ever hear of the Lord Jesus bringing forth fruit that was sour? Fruit that wasn't real cultivated fruit and that delighted the heart of God? He always did that. And he's the true vine. And if you remember, in John chapter 13 and 14, we read of him, he came out from the Father into the world, and he was going to leave the world and go back to the Father. And he said, "I want to tell you all about my Father, and I want to tell you all about heaven. It's a home, and I want you to come to the home, and I want you to know the way to get to the home. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I want you to know my own dear Father, whom I have sought to please all of these 33 years I'm down here. And if you've actually known me, you will know my Father also." And then he said, "While I'm in this interview of being away from you, I'm going to come again, but I'm going to send you my Spirit, and the Father will send the Spirit too. And he'll take the things that are mine and show them unto you, and he will glorify me." And then he even went so far as to say, "While I'm up there, we will come unto you and make our abode with you." And now, in chapter 15, after he has done so much for us, he's saying to you and I want you to bear forth, I want you to bear forth fruit. For me, I want you to delight my heart. So the Father is the husbandman. He's the cultivator. And he's our own dear Father. And I don't want you to think, as when you read verse 2, it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." When he is saying that, he is speaking of what he's going to do, in the sense that he's going to come with a big pair of shears, like I do with my grapevine. I got a big pair of shears that I prune it, and I do a little bit of cutting, and I do some cultivating around it, and I don't know how that grapevine feels when it sees that pair of shears coming, and the clipping starting, and so on. but it's all that the vine might bring forth fruit, that the branches might produce. And it's the one that's taken away that's spoken of here is in the Lord Jesus. The branches are in the vine. The vine is up in heaven, but it extends down to the earth through the Holy Spirit. And we are the branches. And the branches are His own, those that are in the vine. I'm going to ask everybody here this morning, are you in this vine that has all its roots in heaven and is extended right down to the earth? Are we in the vine? And if any man is in the vine, if any man is in Christ, he's new creation. He's got new life. And when the Father here speaks of taking them away, it means that He's taking them to child train them and to produce fruit in them. They are safe as far as eternal security is concerned because they're in Christ. He says, any branch in me. And some people like to say that He's taking these branches that are in Christ and throwing them in hell. It doesn't say that at all. Well, no, He says, to bring forth fruit, I have to purge you. I have to clip you. And sometimes in our trials and struggles, you and I even complain. And we say, why does this happen to me? But oh, thank God, if you're in Christ, if you're in that vine that is the true vine, God is only purging and clipping and pruning that you might bring forth fruit unto Him. Oh, the Father, He's the cultivator, and He wants fruit amongst us. And I love to hear the Lord Jesus say, I am the true vine. No falseness in Him. There's no bitterness in Him. And He uses this word true quite often. Do you remember when we had John chapter 1? He says, I am the true light. Now, John, that great forerunner that went before Him, he bore witness to that light. But he was not the true light. But I am the true light that lighteneth every man. And if you have light in your souls today, and I have light, it's because we have received the true light. And then, of course, He said, I am the true bread from heaven. Do you remember that in chapter 6? There was bread that came down from heaven and lit on the dew to meet the starving people in the wilderness. But those people who ate that bread eventually died. So He said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. I am the true bread from heaven. Oh, I love to think that I can feast spiritually upon bread which is true, bread which will sustain, and bread which will feed my soul, not only in this life, but in the life to come. And isn't that wonderful? And now He says, I'm the true vine. I'm not at all ashamed, are you, to be a branch in the true vine. Do you know that I have seen people that's ashamed of Christ? He even said, and if you remember, He even said that if you're ashamed of me on earth, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father, which is in heaven, and all His holy angels. And do you believe that there's actually some people who are ashamed of Christ? Oh, why would you be ashamed of Him? What evil has He done? What did He ever do wrong? He always pleased the Father and brought forth fruit unto the Father. So, you see, this Savior, Jesus, is the true vine. Well, the Father, He always loved the true vine, didn't He? Oh, right from the start. You remember, right from the very start of His very life, He grew up before the Father as a tender plant and as a shoot out of dry ground. And when he was about to be conceived in the Virgin Mary, you remember the father told Joseph not to put her away. She was no prostitute. She was pure and holy and harmless. And she was a virgin. But you keep her and don't you put her away, because the father loved the true vine. And as he grew up here, and as he hangs down from heaven, he is the father's true vine. And then when Herod wanted to kill him, you remember he was going to kill all the little babies, wasn't he? Because they were going to be one of them that would usurp and take over the kingdom. And so he warned Joseph to take that little fella and protect him, take him down into Egypt in order that Herod could not kill him. So he loves the vine and he loves the branches. And it's a blessed thing to know that in my life, when there is pruning, when there is cutting, when there is purging, when there is cleansing going on, it may not feel too good to the flesh, naturally, but spiritually, it is building me up that I might produce fruit for God my Father. Well, you say, what do you mean by fruit bearing? I want to know what it is, because I want to bear fruit in this convalescent home. I want to bear fruit out of Greenwood Hills. And what is fruit bearing? Well, if you turn to the epistle to Galatians, you read these words, that the fruit of the Spirit is love. Under the law demanded love, but it didn't give you any power to produce it. It didn't. There's not one verse in the law that will give you any encouragement to produce love in you. But under grace, it produces love. We got the God's love manifested in the flesh in the Lord Jesus and produced in all of its fullness at Calvary. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now tell me, do you and I show forth love? Did we do it this morning? Are we doing it to one another here in the home? Now what is the opposite of love? Bitterness. Now if you are not abiding in the vine, if you're not abiding there, enjoying the life that is in the vine, your life will be filled with bitterness, malice, and unkindness. Were you kind this morning? Malice means all kinds of badness. And bitterness. Oh, bitter grapes. My, how sad that is if I've got bitterness in my stomach. Maybe you need a Rolaid. Oh, you need more than a Rolaid, don't you? Huh? You need the love of God flowing through our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Love. And then joy. Is your life filled with joy? Joy, joy, joy. Why, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you know I have seen some Christians filled with gloom. Oh, they got long faces like a, I was going to say a jackass. I'll say a mule. Did you ever see a mule? He has got a long face and he looks like he's just filled with gloom. Well, a Christian is filled with joy and not gloom. Then I love to think of peace. Oh, sweet peace. The gift of God's love. Is your life a peaceful life? Isn't it wonderful to have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, garrisoning your heart? Well, I know people, and they are in Christ, but they're not abiding in him. I believe they're Christians, but you don't see any peace but just unrest. 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 And oh, I've seen Christians that are not satisfied anywhere. Anywhere. They're in mood. Unrest. Not still for a moment. Isn't it wonderful to be still and know that God is God? Huh? And to have rest. Oh, learn of me, says Jesus, and you'll find rest for your soul. And I can say from the Holy Scriptures that wherever Jesus is, there's rest. Whether it's here, whether it's there, whether it's in a palace, whether it's in a tent, where Jesus is, there's quietness and rest. Well then, long-suffering is a fruit. Can you suffer long? Love suffers long and is kind. Long-suffering. Well, the other part of this is impatience. Oh, to be impatient. Not to be patient. Patient is a virtue. Seek it if you can. It's often found in women, but it's seldom found in men. And I love to see patience. Oh, we men have got to work at this one, I think, more than our dear sisters. To be patient. And then to be gentle. Oh, thy gentleness has made me great. The gentleness of the Lord Jesus has made me great. But what is the opposite of gentleness? Harshness. I'm not abiding in the vine if I'm harsh and hateful and mean. But oh, gentle Jesus. And then goodness. Oh, I love that. I love to hear people say, he's a good man. And he shows forth the goodness of the Lord. Well, what's the opposite of goodness? Well, I believe moral evil. Do you know that Christians, if they're not abiding in the vine, can become immoral and actually enjoy immorality and go in for it? Not abiding in the vine. And then faith is the next fruit. I love that word, faith. Oh, now abideth faith, hope, and love. And they all remain, these three great Christian principles. And I still say faith will remain throughout all eternity. The Bible doesn't say faith will be done away with. It says now abides faith, hope, and love. And down through the ages of eternity, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to me. And I'll have to believe him, won't I? Huh? as each day he's going to show me more and more and more. You're not like a clothespin hanging on a clothesline and everybody the same and hanging there looking alike and not doing nothing and no movement. Bless your soul, we're going to be in the fullness of his love and his grace. And I'm looking forward to it. We shall be shown this. And then, of course, I want to think of meekness. Oh, the Lord Jesus says, you learn of me, and you'll be meek and lowly in heart. What's the opposite of this? Pride. Did you ever see a Christian that was filled with pride? Huh? Well, you know, Louise and I was reading yesterday morning that even the clothes I wear tells what's in my heart. And you have to look over people's clothes sometimes to see what's in their heart. The Bible says, be clothed with what? A meek and a quiet spirit. And when you see some people wearing awful gaudy clothes, and sometimes I go, I shouldn't go to see it, I go to meet people that are weary and heavy laden, but over along the beach down in Florida, I see some women that don't have hardly any clothes on at all. Hardly any. And I say, my souls and body, what's in their heart if that's on their body? Huh? Oh, yes. What you wear will tell what's in your heart to a great degree. See? And what are we to be clothed with? Meekness and not pride. Now, I don't mean you should wear gaudy clothes. The Lord Jesus wasn't like that. Oh, no. No, they even gambled for his garments, didn't they, huh? I wish somebody would gamble for my garments. Would love to have them. I would give them to them if they would love them and covet them. Well, then last of all, temperance. And that means self-control. Do you and I blow a fuse or do we have self-control? Oh, I love this last. Temperance. Self-control. Sometimes I give things a flap and a punch and a pull and throw it down and that's not nice, is it? Huh? Is that self-control? No. Self-control. Oh, to be able to exercise this lovely virtue of temperance. And the opposite of that, I believe, is lust of the flesh. And it will always do the opposite from self-control. Well, now, oh, I still got a little bit of time. But there's some other fruit that you can bring forth, and that's in service. Service for the Lord. Not just living for Him, but through that life coming down through the vine, into the branches, we can serve Him. Not to bring forth fruit for ourselves, but to bring forth fruit unto Him in service. And Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, I'm writing to you. I want to visit you. I want to see some fruit. I want to have some fruit in your midst. He wanted some fruit from the Romans. What kind of fruit did he want? Souls. That was the first thing. He wanted souls to be saved. And he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And that he wanted to impart unto them some spiritual truth, that those who receive the gospel might grow. And he says, you pray for me that I might come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. How about you and I? Are we bringing forth fruit this way? Are we telling our buddy, our friends next door, do you know the Lord Jesus? Do you love Him? Are you in the vine? Are you bringing forth fruit? Really, I trust that I have come here this morning, that I'm seeking fruit among you, that I might encourage you, that I might be a help to you, that I might speak a word in season, that will encourage you in life's weary pathway, and that I might even see maybe some souls saved and your names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'd rather have them there than in a church roll any time, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Amen. What do you do when you trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Well, there's joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. Now, he says, abide, abide. Seven times over in the verses I read, he says, abide. And you might be in Christ as to your standing, and you'll be eternally saved in the sweet by and by, but now God wants fruit. And you can only bring forth fruit to God by abiding in the vine. And he says, I want fruit, I want more fruit, and I want much fruit. You see, the Father is jealous over His vine. Are you and I entering into this? Are we attached to the vine? And are we abiding in the vine? And are the beautiful fruits being realized by God the Father? They're for Him. Not for the newspaper. Not for some exuberant pointing out to you what you've done. But that the Father, the last verse says, might be glorified. And this is how the Father is glorified, when I bring forth much fruit. So, let's go in for it. I don't know of anything that would attract and would encourage and even would give you a push to bring forth much fruit for God, our own dear Father. Well, it's time to close. Shall we pray? And after the prayer, we'll sing a verse or two of a hymn. Shall we bow and pray? Our God, Thou hast said in the verses that we read, if we abide, Lord Jesus, in Thee, and Thou dost abide in us, we can ask the Father what we will, and He will do it. Oh, encourage dear souls this morning. And if there's any in darkness, bring them to the true light, the true vine, that they might be fruitful. Bless, we pray Thee, this institution, each nurse, the girls from the school, everyone who is an encouragement to it, and may we see a fruitful field growing. God bless our homes. Thou dost love to save not only individuals from the home, but thou dost love to save those in the house, in the home. So we commit one another to thy loving care with grateful hearts, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
We usually close with our hymn number 217, I believe it is. Only trust Him. We're abiding in Christ. We have to trust Him first. We trust Him, and we abide in Him, as we've been learning.